Hey there. Because you're listening to this podcast, we at Blue Wire want you to know this. One, we freaking love you. And two, we want to learn more about you. Help us make more content you'll love by filling out a survey you can find in the description of this podcast. You'll help us out a ton, and you'll have a chance to win a Blue Wire t-shirt, hoodie, or a pair of AirPods. We appreciate you, hope you're staying safe, and want you to enjoy this podcast.
You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Friday, which means it's time for Unsportsmanlike Conduct with your hosts, Adam Hill and Ed Green.
Hey everyone, welcome into Unsportsmanlike Conduct of the Vegas Nation podcast, brought to you by Favor Shots. We're your hosts, Ed Graney and Adam Hill. This happens to be our very first podcast within the new bubble of Vegas Nation. We've talked about this for a long time, Adam, getting together, doing a podcast, talk sports and entertainment and life. No reason why, or I have no idea why the Review Journal has agreed to this, but they have. Welcome. What's your thoughts? Why are we even here?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's amazing that anybody would want us to do anything. So I guess they'll learn, and we'll be doing this for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Fitting that you said we're within the bubble.
We are in the bubble. It's a new sports term. Yes.
Yeah.
We're not a what's the Golden Knights trying to be?
A hub.
The hub. We're not a hub. We're more of a bubble.
That's
here
fair.
With, That's fair. The Vegas Nation studios. Okay, so what we want to do here is we want to do a little Raiders. We are Vegas Nation, but then we want to get into other topics, have some fun with this. But we'll try to start each one at least with one Raiders topic. This week, I want to actually ask you about a guy who's not even a Raider and probably never will be. But there has been some reports that the All-Pro safety Jamal Adams of the Jets wants a trade. He's asked the Jets for a trade. They have not complied. Dallas seems to be where he wants to go, but people are saying, would the Raiders make a run at this guy? Obviously, they need as much defensive help as they can get. Asking price at this point for Jamal Adams, they're saying multiple draft picks, maybe even a 1 and a 2. If you're Mike Mayock, and that has to be the price, would you give that up for Jamal Adams?
No. I think there's a couple of factors to go to. First of all, he has given a list of teams he's willing to go to with no new contract.
The Raiders are not on it.
The Raiders are not on that. He's under team control for 2 more years on a very team-friendly contract, his rookie deal. So if I'm one of those teams that's on the list, there's no question I'm making that move. Like, this is a very, very elite player right at the beginning of his career, entering his prime under, a team-friendly contract. That's an easy decision. I'm making that deal. I'm figuring it out. I'm trying to make him stay long-term, doing whatever I can. Now, if you're the Raiders, you're not on the list, and you need to not only give up a first and a second potentially, but also sign a long-term, very, very lucrative contract
right.
for one of the best defensive players in the league, probably not, especially if I look at the landscape and try to figure out where I am. If I'm a team that's like, hey, I'm a contender, I'm right there, a safety could really push me over the top and win me a title, this is easy, no question. If I'm a team, and listen, you have to be realistic in the NFL about where your expectations are. I think the Raiders are looking at themselves as a fringe playoff team, a team that's going to be fighting for that spot to try to get into the postseason. They might be more than 1 or 2 players away, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And I don't necessarily know that safety is some massive need that they have. I mean, depth, yes, for sure. But they've got some young safeties that they really like. So I just don't see it being the right fit. I see him being the right fit for somebody, because I'll tell you this. We were around the Raiders all of last year.
Right.
Is there any player from another team that they talked about more that week?
No, and he's the kind of guy I've said, if he's on your team, you love him, and if he's not, you hate him.
Yeah.
He talks smack. He's really, really good. This is my only point on it. I think the Raiders probably think they're a little better than a fringe team inside the room, and I'll ask you this. So you give up the 1 for him, and let's say they were 7-9 last year. They get a few breaks. Maybe they get to 9-7, 10-6 probably as the ceiling. And you know where that draft pick lies. So let's say it's teens, like, I don't know, 12 to 18. Is there any chance you're getting Jamal Adams at that spot?
But you're also getting a player on a rookie deal if you do that.
True. It's the money. Yeah.
You're basically signing a free agent and giving up.
And giving him a money.
Like, that's what you're looking at. And so I think there's a lot there. But the point I was making on the, what he means to the team, last year, every week during game week, you talk to the coaches, you talk to the players,
right.
and they'd be like, oh, this team does this well, they do this well, we're looking at this. You could not talk to anybody on the offensive side of the ball last year. Nobody. that wasn't saying Jamal Adams, Jamal Adams, Jamal Adams. We got to figure out where he is. We got to find where he is. We got to make sure that he's not disrupting every single play. And then guess what? He did.
Yeah, they won by 30. Yeah. There were other reasons for it. It was in the pouring rain. Yeah, 30 points.
He was a major part of that defense, and they were very, very aware of him. That's the kind of game-changing player that he is, and that's the kind of game-changing player that they hope a guy like Jonathan Abram can be.
But there's Jonathan Abrams who played like 10 snaps. Yeah. So if you get Jamal Adams, isn't that, he could learn under him. He's a proven player. He's 24. He's in his prime. I mean, they think Jonathan Abrams really good, but what if he turns out not to be?
Right, but you're also investing a whole lot in a place where you think you might have a guy that could be that game-changing type of player. You're investing a lot of money, a lot of draft capital. I don't know. I look at it as if I'm a team, if I'm the Chiefs, right. Who don't have any money.
The Cowboys.
Well, the Cowboys are not a legit contender
on paper,
either.
They are, my friend.
They're not. If I'm one of those teams that's like, listen, I know I'm in the playoffs. I might need that one or two players that's going to go from playoff team to Super Bowl contender or Super Bowl champion.
You're giving it up.
It's a pretty easy decision for me. Your windows are not that open. Are not that wide open in the NFL. You have to win while you can, while you're in that position. And that's a guy where you're like, okay, that is a guy that could take us from maybe AFC championship game contender to Super Bowl contender or Super Bowl champion. That's the kind of difference maker that he is. And I just think you need to be very, very close before you make that kind of commitment.
Didn't you hear Caliendo's spot? Gruden thinks they're going 16-0.
Caliendo as Gruden thinks
yes,
they're
Caliendo
going 16-0.
I think Gruden thinks they're better than probably most people do. I would hope
I'm
I think
sure
their number's
does.
Like 6 or 7.
I'm sure he does, but that's actually, I mean, that is actually that's a hidden, like, really good trait of personnel people and in front offices where you're optimistic and you think, hey, we're this, but you also have to know what you really are.
Okay. I'll give you that.
That is a huge...
I get the feeling Gruden thinks they're better.
No, he doesn't. He should. I'm not saying that he shouldn't.
You're thinking Mayock and other people.
I'm thinking, yeah, and I'm just thinking like there's every single team goes into the year thinking, hey, we can do it. If things fall right for us, we can do it. We can, we can upset a couple teams early. Right. We can have some injuries to other teams in the league. Maybe we're right there. But you also have to understand where you are and where other teams are, and you have to look and say, okay, if we make this trade, where is our first round pick going to be? Are we giving up a very early pick? Are we going to be one of the 10 worst teams in the league and give up a top 10 pick? Or do we think we are going to be, a deep run in the playoffs and we're giving up like a 27th or 28th pick? That is a huge difference when you start to make these analyzations. So, every team thinks they're going to be good. Every team thinks they're going to be a contender. What really are you? And you have to analyze that when you make these kind of deals. And listen, I think the Raiders are a team that in – 2 years.
Fringe wild card right now.
Yeah, and I think in 2 years, that's a team. They're going to be very optimistic. Right. They've got a lot of young players, a lot of young talent. Everything is coming along how they wanted to, a new stadium where people are going to want to come sign here. All those things are going in the right direction, but you have to be honest about where you are this year. And I don't think they believe they're Jamal Adams away from winning the Super Bowl.
All right. All right. Fair enough. There's your Raiders fix. Let's get into something far more important and my fascination with you, because I don't know half the time. I get a lot of people saying, does he really believe what he says? Is he just saying it because, he wants to cause some problems with people? Yeah, you had a birthday this week. Happy birthday. It doesn't matter how many candles on the cake. Nobody cares about that. My fascination with you has always been when this day comes around every year, whether it be Facebook or Twitter, you absolutely despise and hate people who recognize it's your birthday and then have the gall to say happy birthday. I've never known why. Why? What is wrong with you at that level?
I don't know. That's a fair question.
What?
That I think I have a team of psychiatrists working on, yes, trying to figure that out with me. I'm uncomfortable with it because I don't, as much as it seems like I'm just like being outrageous or whatever on Twitter and other places.
Yes.
Like I don't really like attention like that. Like I don't like the focus.
It's not the fear of getting old.
No, what
I just, people don't, at certain levels, people don't want their birthday recognized anymore.
No, there's nothing. It's been, I think I was like this when I was 5. I was like, what?
You weren't the kid who wanted a party?
No, God, no. My parents
wrong?
Are like, hey, what do you think? Skating rink? Like, what do you, no.
You didn't have the theme parties like the Dora Explorer or like the
first of all.
Well, Dora Explorer.
We didn't mention my age, but I don't think Dora was around when I was 5 or 6.
Toy Story or, your kid stuff.
No, if it was like, hey, what do you think for your party this year? Bowling alley or skating rink? Neither. Like, neither. I don't know. I don't want that. That's ridiculous. What am I going to sit with that goofy triangle hat on my head?
They say a healthy gut means a healthy you.
favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are just some of the benefits to shooting a daily favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First-time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com.
You were not the kid who got pissed off because you were the one kid not invited to the party in class. You didn't even want the invitation. You know, the teacher says you must all be invited. You put the hand up and said, not me.
Oh, no, no.
Don't invite me.
Oh, no, I need to be invited. I need to go to other people's parties. I don't want to be the presents you missed out on. I don't want to be the guy that's left out, like the one kid in the class that doesn't get the invitation. I don't want to be that guy.
What about the presents?
I don't want it to be my party. I mean...
You're a kid.
Yeah, as a poor kid, yes, the presents would be nice, I guess. But no, that was never really my thing. But the thing now, I look at, and it goes the same with Christmas too. Like any kind of acknowledgement or gift or card. Like if somebody gives you a card, all of those things, an acknowledgement, a gift, a card, any of those things, is just an assignment to you.
What if I put a Starbucks card in it? You spend 10 hours a day at that place.
I know. Well, I would use the card. That's fine. But what I'm saying is, okay, you give me a birthday card with a Starbucks card in it, right?
Yes, that's what I would usually do.
All right. Okay, now when is your birthday? What am I going to get you? What do you like? Now,
I got to figure that out. You feel a need to now reciprocate?
Yeah, of course. That's what it is. All that is.
I can't just be nice to you?
No. Anybody that gets you anything or acknowledges anything about you, it's just a request for you to acknowledge them and their birthday.
No,
or their
that's
day.
Right. I tweeted the other day a happy birthday to you. I gave you a George Costanza gift. You come back with, I hate you. Who does that? Why don't you say, hey, thanks?
Yeah, because now, because you know what happened from that?
You have to say happy birthday to me?
No, even worse. Because yes, I would. Because I would do that. Because we are, like, we're friends. So I would. That's fine. I understand, like, if it's your friend, but then what happened after you send that tweet out?
Oh, hundreds of people.
DM after DM, yes, after DM. 100. Happy birthday, buddy.
You got okay. one from some very high level people in this town, my friend.
I got several from very high level
people. That actually surprised you on a few.
Yeah. A few of them were like, I was like, okay, what is this now? So you know what it is? Okay, as you mentioned, a pretty high level person in the sports world in this town
reached out to you.
I literally I think I've introduced myself to that person like 30 times, and every time I'm like, oh, nice to meet you. And I'm like, you know who I am.
Yes.
Like, what is this? But then, so then that person DMs me happy birthday. So now I'm like, okay, first of all, when is their birthday? So I have to say happy birthday to them at some point. But also, how do I respond to this happy birthday? Is it just
thank you?
That's not it.
Not thinking, I hate you.
But then they're thinking, wow, I said happy birthday. All I said was thank you. That's all you got?
What are you supposed to say?
I don't know. That's what I'm telling you. I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
The normal person just says thank you. If you said happy birthday, hey, thanks, Adam, and I'd go on with my day.
No,
why do I get some big monologue to you when I'm thanking you for saying happy birthday?
I tried to come back with something clever, and then the nightmare of all nightmares, then they responded to that, and now I'm like,
you started going back and forth with that person. You weren't happy.
Now I'm in a conversation, and I'm like, okay, this is weird. Now, how does this end? But then it's... How many tweets do you – I got like, 50 or 60, whatever tweets.
I started it, by the way.
Yes, and then I every person. Do you just say thank you to every person? Now you're being lazy. So it's like, hey, thanks. Really appreciate it. That's
thanks.
Very cool of you. Like, now you got to come up with 100 different replies because you don't want your whole timeline to be the same thing to every single person because you look lazy. And then let's not even get into Facebook, which I don't even log on
You have a problem with Facebook responding.
Yes,
you know why? Because Facebook
on.
Gives you like 1,000 happy birthdays because it tells everyone it's your birthday.
Exactly. So then I have not even opened my Facebook since my birthday was, 2 days ago now?
Yes.
I haven't even opened it because I just keep getting notification.
That they're all saying happy birthday.
Yes. And what do you do? If you just go like everyone, that's obnoxious. Like, that's so lazy and just like, okay, thanks, whatever. And your whole timeline will just list it. So now it's a nightmare. So then if anybody, I mean, God forbid, would even start into giving you something. Like, somebody gives you something, as you said, okay, here's a Starbucks card, which I do. I am at Starbucks all the time.
Yes.
That's cool.
You're a lunatic.
All right, where do you go? Like, I know what I know the things to get you.
You're thinking way too much. I'm just, as a friend,
that's
here's a Starbucks
all,
card.
And you have
to give one back to me.
I'm neurotic. I get it. I understand that. But yes, I'm obsessed with these things. And then, so then you said, oh, you don't have to give somebody something. All right, let's say there's like, everybody ranks their friends. I mean, like,
exactly.
All right, this is a real close friend.
Yes,
this next level.
Yeah, exactly.
A fringe friend gives you something.
I think you got to give it back.
Right. But if you don't, you're the biggest jerk of all time.
Yeah, but he's only friends, so you're not going to worry about it later on. You're going to say, that guy was just a friend's. What do I care about that guy?
And then they start trashing you to everybody. I gave that guy a birthday present, and he didn't give me anything. Why are we doing this? Why?
Because it's common courtesy in life.
No, it's not. This is all just assignments to each other and
a story assignment? Like a UFC story? Yes. You got to make deadline to give someone a gift?
It's a measuring of you as a person and as a friend and all those things. I can't take it. It's a nightmare to me in every way. I cannot do it.
Do you give Christmas presents?
Oh, my God, no.
That's worse than your birthday.
Oh, my God. No. What are you doing? Like the night before,
opening one gift and you have like 30 under the tree?
Yeah, no. It's the same thing, though. So now twice a year. So now it's your birthday and on Christmas. Now you've got to remember everybody that gave you something. And
yeah, but nobody gives you Christmas presents except your family. Who gives you Christmas presents except your family?
I think people are messing with me.
Oh, they do it on purpose, so you have to give back.
I think so. But then I'm like, what? And the people that wait till the last second, screw you. Because now I don't even have time.
Yeah,
like,
there's
out
no
of
chance
nowhere. Out of nowhere, somebody's
and
like,
you're the
hey,
kind of
Christmas.
Person people like to screw with, I'm sure, yes. With all your opinions.
Oh, hey, it's Christmas. Here's a gift. Why are you doing this to me? I don't
Christmas
have time.
Eve, they're knocking at the door.
Yes.
Hey, Adam, I brought you something. And then they're waiting for theirs, and you're looking under the tree like this. I'm looking in the house.
Like, no, I don't know. Here's some dog treats that are for my dog, but I hope you have a dog too. I don't know. I have nothing. I am completely lost on all these things. I don't know why people enjoy those, like, birthdays.
Being nice?
It's not nice. You're assigning somebody something to do for you.
Happy birthday, buddy.
If you get somebody a gift of any kind, all you're doing is saying, all right, now what are you getting me?
You could be me. Like, for Father's Day last week, I clicked on a brand new pair of golf clubs, and there were a lot of money, and the wife, you know, she takes care of all the credit cards. She screamed from the bedroom, what the hell are these golf clubs? I said, it's for Father's Day. She goes, I'm not your father. I still got the golf clubs. And then, of course, I wanted an ice cream cake. So when we're on vacation, I ordered the cake. I said, the cake's ordered. She goes, why are you ordering the cake? It's for you. I said, because I need what I want. I need what I like. I don't want you ordering it. It might be a bad cake.
I'm into this. That's
you
good.
Like that part. Just get your own stuff.
Yes. Yes, I'm in for that.
Happy birthday.
Please don't say that.
Quickly, COVID tests are hitting everywhere, every sport. Djokovic is getting the whole tennis community positive. We've seen what happened with golf and Koepka and all the caddies. Before we get to our final segment here with the 60 seconds, there was a column this week in the Associated Press that said, it's too much too soon. Why are we doing this? We can last the rest of the year. We already lasted this much. There's no chance football's not going to have a ton of positives. You know what's happening in college football. Where do you stand on this? Like, is this too much too soon? Or are they just saying, we need the revenue. We're coming back.
I mean, obviously it's about the revenue.
It's all the money.
You know, for college sports and pro sports and all the revenue that is generated. And the networks, like,
especially the NFL.
Yeah, they're putting pressure on. They're like, hey, we paid all this money.
Right.
We need this content. It's huge for us. Like, all those things are happening. So there's going to be a lot of pressure to make it happen. There are ways to make it happen. Like, the bubble concepts are good. It seems like it's not feasible for football. So they're not going to be able to do it, but like the basketball one is pretty good, except for employees. Like,
you have to stay there for months.
Right. In an ideal world, you'd have a bubble with all the athletes and the employees for wherever you are.
Right.
And nobody would ever leave.
Right.
It's just not really feasible, like, to make people's lives change like that. So, man, I hope that they can come up with a bunch of different concepts or whatever that would work for all the different sports. I want sports. I also very much respect the virus and what, you know, that we can't do a whole lot if this is like transmitting at the rate that it is. I look at UFC and the way boxing is doing it right now, they've got good plans, but that's a one night event.
Right.
So it's tough to do that in other sports.
I want you in the bubble for like 60 days with people. They'd be running from that thing after 60 days with you.
Nobody wants that.
No, well, yeah, I do. I want to see people running from that bubble and just saying it's okay if I can. In fact, I got to get away from that guy. God forbid I bought him a Starbucks this morning. Now he's all pissed at me because he might have to buy me one tomorrow. Yes.
That's exactly what it would be. And so, like, but basketball, like, for 2.5 months, it's a lot to ask of people. But
it's a lot to ask of budgets, by the way, for the media.
Oh, that's true. If media is even in.
If they're even allowed in. That's one thing we don't know about our jobs. We don't know what's happening with our jobs.
Yeah. Hockey. I'm fairly certain Las Vegas is going to be a hub. How much are people going to be allowed to leave? How much, like, hotel employees? Okay, if you're staying at, like, Mandalay Bay.
Right.
The Mandalay Bay employees, they're going to be going home every day. So then how do you deal with that?
How do you get them back and test them and make sure they're not around the players?
Yeah, and, you know, I believe UFC is in there in three weeks over in Abu Dhabi. I believe all the employees are staying on in the bubble.
Right.
But that's 3 weeks.
Yeah, like, it's not 3 months.
It's different than 3 months.
It's not 3 months.
So is there a way to compensate people enough to be like, hey, you're leaving your family for 3 months. NBA players are doing it.
Right.
Would you do it? Like, I don't know.
Oh, God, the wife would kick me out. She'd be the happiest 3 months of her life.
True.
If I'm gone for
that's
3 months.
That's true for a lot of people.
She'd want me to stay for three more.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
It's a lot to try to figure out. I mean, I want sports as much as anybody. But at the same time, like, how much is this going to be impacted? And if you do try to start something and it gets shut down during it, it's even worse than, you know, not ever starting. I don't know. There's just so much to figure out. And it's just so... It's so complicated and confusing because, again, I hear people snapping at me all the time. And I have some people that are, you know, very much this whole thing's a hoax, which is ridiculous.
Right.
But even if they make some good points about, like, hey, listen, look at the fatality rate of guys that are 25 to 30. Yeah, all those things are good. Those people have parents.
Right.
They have grandparents. They have, as we've learned, children that have, you know, immunocompromised situations. Like, there's all these different things out there that are possibilities. You just don't understand what people's situations are. So I just think it's really tough.
All right. Well, we'll continue to watch that. Listen, we're going to end each podcast with a thought from each of us under 60 seconds, sort of a final play from scrimmage. Any topic we want, we find interesting. Maybe you'll agree with, disagree. That usually happens. You'll consider us idiots. That really usually happens. Anyway, it should be fun. My friend, you have the floor. What's your final thought?
Well, I'm worried that I'm going to steal yours. I don't want to.
No, you're not going to steal mine. You have no chance of stealing.
Okay, good enough. You know what? We did not talk about the Bubba Wallace situation at all. Listen, can we please leave him alone in this? Like, this was not him. People are calling him, like, you know, Bubba Smollett or Jesse Wallace, whatever. Stop it. This is not him. Somebody else found it. They reported it. NASCAR officials also agreed that it was a noose. The FBI agreed that it was a noose. Everyone did. He wasn't involved in this. So whatever your thoughts are of, oh, it was a hoax, all these other things, you're wrong. First of all, look at it. It's a noose hanging in his garage. How it got there, yes, we understand now. It was there for a year or whatever, you know, however long it's been there, all these other things. We get that. It's not him. So leave him alone. This is ridiculous to be pinning this stuff on him. And also, like, be honest about it. It's a noose hanging in his garage. Whatever you want to say about, you know, it wasn't intended for him, it didn't mean it, somebody said it wasn't even big enough for his head, that's beside the point. Knock that stuff off and leave him alone.
There you go. My last thing. I'm not going to copy you. Usually I will, but I'll go with this. I'm at a bagel shop yesterday. I'm into wearing the masks. I'm at a bagel shop. I'm waiting for the bagel outside. They have good social distancing. There's three tables. First table, just a bunch of hot people off a soap opera. Nothing but hot women and men. I'm like, who are these people off the soap opera set? All have masks on. Doing their job. Middle, kind of middle-aged people, but they still got 30 years left probably, so they're being safe because they're doing some kind of business meeting. Yeah, but they got the masks on. God love old people. I love them. One day we'll be them. The third table, old people, and from where I live, probably from Sun City, no masks. So I'm thinking to myself, are these people saying, well, if I get it, I'm good. It's been a good run. I'm done. Like, I'm checking out because it's been a good run. Why do the old people not have them on? The soap opera stars do. The middle-aged people do. I look over the old people. They're laughing. It's an airborne virus. I'm backing up because if even a droplet comes at me, I please, out there, wear masks. No matter what age group, wear masks. I'm all behind the governor on this. I think everyone should have masks on, especially these poor people I saw yesterday. But it kind of bugged me because they had that attitude is, you know what? If it's over, it's over. If I get it, I've had a good run. I'm going to pack it in. So please out there, my only thing would be wear masks. All right, that's going to do it for our first edition of Unsportsmanlike Conduct of the Vegas Nation podcast presented by Favor Shot. Listen, we hope you enjoyed it. If not, it's a 50-50 chance we're going to be back anyway. But remember now, there are new episodes of Vegas Nation every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Subscribe to the Vegas Nation on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other podcasting app. You can also support the show by leaving a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, and you can find all of our coverage at VegasNation.com. He's Adam. I'm Ed. Let's talk to you next week.